While the scripture is clear, Lord, that this world that we live in is a temporary place, and Father, and one day is coming, Father, when you're going to wipe the slate clean, Lord, and bring eternity into play. And Father, we just pray that each and every one of us is looking forward to that day. Father, each and every one of us is prepared for that day, Father, through a relationship with your Son. And Father, through believing in his death, through believing in his resurrection, through believing him as our Lord and Savior, Father, that we can be ready for that day, Lord, when you cause our heart to beat for the last time, or you step out on that eastern sky, whichever comes first. And Lord, we just are grateful, Father, that with everything that we have to deal with here on this earth and everything that is going on around us, Lord, that we have a place that you have promised to your children, Father, that we don't have to deal with this stuff. We don't have to worry about this stuff. We don't have to scratch our heads or listen to news commentators wondering what's going to come up next. But Father, we know, Lord, that you have righted every wrong. And Father, we just have that to be able to look forward to. Lord, just ask you to be with us, Lord, as we get into the sixth chapter of Matthew. And Father, we just ask that you will speak to our hearts, and Father, and help us to realize and examine ourselves, Father, to look at our own hearts and our own walk with you, and Father, and to be able to be pleasing to you, and Father, not show up at the pearly gates one day and say, well, I didn't know. But Father, we just are thankful that your word is clear to us, and Father, and that it does provide the self-examination that we need to do, and Father, and also gives us the assurance and, Lord, and the warnings, Father, of not having our hearts right with you. So, Father, we just ask you to be with us this morning. Speak to us as we go through these verses and hand me behind the cross. We pray all things in Christ Jesus, Savior's name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, who are you serving? Over the next few weeks, this is a prequel to the Lord's Prayer. Next week, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, and then following that, what to do after Amen. But here, these verses leading up to it, you know, God is preparing us for prayer to make sure we're ready for it. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. I invite you to stand with me if you're able on a reading of God's Word. Beware the practicing of your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. May God add blessing to reading his word, and may be seated. Andrew Fuller was an English theologian, and he was a Baptist pastor as well. And he served in the ministry in the early days of organized missions work. Up until the point, up until his life here, most mission work, you know, churches has sent missionaries here, or this church has sent missionaries overseas. But at this point in history, churches are working together to organize missions, be able to do more and accomplish more. But he had a desperate passion for the people of Kenya. He saw the need to be able to send missionaries to Kenya. They, at this point in history, you know, there are very few missionaries, if any, that are reaching out to that people group. And when Reverend Fuller thought about that, it broke his heart. There are hundreds of thousands of people every day at risk of dying and never hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, dying and passing into eternity without the opportunity to be able to respond for themselves to ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. He knew that the people of Kenya, the only hope that they had is the only hope that any of us have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that burden ate at him day and night. So he decided he was going to do something himself. He was going to give up the pastorate that he had there at the church, and he was going into the mission field himself. So he started to raise money for the trip. He started going around to local churches to raise money to go from England to Kenya to be able to spread the gospel, to tell people about Jesus Christ, to be able to pass out Bibles and tell them about this hope. He went church to church raising money and decided to travel back to his hometown, go back to the people that knew him to raise more funds. And he ended up back at the church that he had grown up in. And he came across one of his longtime childhood friends. Had grown up together in the church. And Reverend Fuller said, you know, I'm back because I've got a passion for the people in Kenya. Nobody is sharing Christ with them. They don't have scripture in their language. And I've got to see those people saved. Got to see them hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I've come to raise funds to make the trip possible. And his friend said, well, Andrew, seeing that it's you, I'll give you $5. Now, in the late 1700s, $5 today would have been equal to about $95. But Reverend Fuller said, no, I can't take your money, seeing how it's for me. His old friend stepped back for a moment, scratched his head, and thought about the wording that he had used in the sentence there. And he said, well, you're right. Here's $10, seeing how it's for Jesus Christ. The question of the day is, who are you serving? Why are you doing what you're doing? Who's the priority in your life? To keep it all in context, as Jesus is watching people coming and going out of worship, who are you serving in the church? Why do you serve? Is it all about Jesus? Is it all about the gospel being able to be furthered so that somebody else that may not have been raised in church and may not have a Christian family, may not have a Christian influence in their life, so that they can know the good news of Jesus Christ? Or is it about yourself? About your recognition? About getting a pat on the back? About securing the status quo? Or is it all about Jesus Christ and people knowing Him? When I sat down, to write the message, I had every intentions of writing one on the Lord's Prayer. You know, one of probably the most famous prayer in Scripture. But the more I got to reading, the more I got to studying, the more I got to writing out outlines, I realized, you know, we can't skip over these verses that lead into the Lord's Prayer. Because the Lord's Prayer has more meaning when we know what Jesus is trying to condition the people's hearts to be able to receive. You know, we cannot forget about these verses before the Lord's Prayer, and we can't forget about the verses after the prayer as well. So again, as I said, you know, we start a mini-series in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. This is one of an early point in Jesus' ministry. He's been out in the wilderness. The devil has tempted him. Jesus has told him, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. He comes out victorious. He's been out at this point. Jesus has already called his 12 disciples. He's got his close followers there. They're beginning to go around. They're beginning to teach and to tell people about the kingdom of God. We see in chapter 4 that people from everywhere are hearing about Jesus. People from everywhere are coming to know Jesus and want to know what he's preaching about and what he's teaching. We see in chapter 4 there that people are coming to get healed. It lists their demon-possessed, the epileptic, the paralytics, the various diseases and pains. People were coming from all over the countryside wanting to see if Jesus is real, wanting to see if the stories and the rumors that are going around, if Jesus is who he claims to be. We see there in chapter 4 that people are coming from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, beyond the Jordan River. People are coming from everywhere to see and to hear Jesus. Then as chapter 5 begins, Jesus looks around and sees thousands of people. Thousands of curious people wanting to know who he is and what he's got to say. And Jesus thinks to himself, this would be a good time for a sermon. So there he takes that opportunity to teach them some truths about the kingdom of God. Jesus sits down on the side of the hill there and begins to teach them. The hillside would have been the perfect place, been the perfect acoustics as Jesus was up on the top of the hill and his voice reverberated down throughout the valley there. They would be able to hear what he was saying. So the Lord's Prayer ends up in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. So before he teaches them how to pray, he says, you need to look at your heart. Before you come to me, before you bring your needs to me, your concerns to me, your wants, your hurts to me, before you bring your praises to me, Jesus here teaches them, you need to check this out first. Make sure this is where it needs to be. Jesus lays out a little groundwork before he shows them the importance of prayer. First thing we see him show them there is serving with a pure heart. Serving with a pure heart. There, verse number one. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Serving with a pure heart. And I could have just easily called this point, you know, doing the right thing for all of the wrong reasons. Here, Jesus is calling the Pharisees out on their hypocritical deeds, looking good on the outside. The Pharisees in the Bible in Jesus' time were the legal scholars of the day. You know, if somebody had a question about the law of Moses or some of the commandments in the Bible, they would come to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees would sit down. They would listen to what they had to say and say, you know, here's what you need to do. Or if there was a disagreement between two people, they would come to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees would examine the Ten Commandments or examine other laws there in the Old Testament and say, all right, you're right, you're wrong. Here's what we need to do to settle this. There were also a group that was stuck in their traditions. And not just the traditions of the Bible, not just the traditions that God has laid out for us there, but they were doing what their forefathers had done just for the sake of doing what their forefathers had done. You know, anytime we get stuck in traditions, you know, just because this is the way grandma used to do it, this is the way grandpa used to do it, we are at a great risk of hindering the gospel. When we get so ingrained in our traditions, we run a great risk of not seeing new opportunities, new ways to be able to share Jesus Christ with somebody else. Stories told of the lady that's cooking the Thanksgiving ham. She and her new husband are cooking for the family for the first time in their new home. There is the family gathers together. She's getting the ham out. She's laid it out on the kitchen island there. She's taking the pan out and laid it out there. And her mother walks in the room and she's putting the ham in the pan there and says, wait a minute. You can't cook the ham until you cut the little end off of the ham there. She said, okay, and went to sawing. Said, Mom, I'm going to do it, but why? Mama said, I don't know. That's just the way my mama always did it. Well, let's go to the living room and ask Grandma why she did it that way. So they go to the living room there and say, Grandma, we're supposed to cut the little end off the ham before we put it in the pan? He said, yes, that's the way I've always done it. I said, okay, but why? I don't know. That's the way my mama taught me to do it. So they go to the other end of the couch and shake Great Grandma and wake her up there and say, Great Grandma, are we supposed to cut the little end off the ham before we cook it? And she said, well, I always did. I said, well, why? She said, I had to cut the little end off the ham. If not, it wouldn't fit in my pan. Sometimes we get stuck in so many traditions that have no meaning. We get ingrained in the way we've always done things, and that's what the Pharisees were doing here. That's what the Pharisees were guilty of. They were sticking to the way that Grandma and Grandpa had always done it. I mean, tradition is fine as long as it sticks true to Scripture. But they were doing things just for the sake of tradition. And Jesus warns them of practicing their righteousness before other men. Look at me. See our righteousness. You know, our righteousness is supposed to be between us and God. You know, our righteousness has nothing to do with our relationship with each other or relationship with other people we come in contact with. That's our testimony. When people can look at us, can see that we're a Christian, can hear the words that are coming out of our mouth, can see the way that we're living our lives, that's our testimony. But our righteousness is purely between us and God. Our righteousness is based on Jesus Christ's death and resurrection through asking him to forgive us of our sins, through asking him to be our Lord and Savior. And through that relationship, he makes us right in the Father's eyes. But here it is, the Pharisees are wanting to be right in the eyes of everybody that's around them there. The Pharisees were making their righteousness, as Jesus puts it there, known before men. They were serving to be appreciated, doing what they were doing to be appreciated. And Jesus tells them there that if you're keeping your traditions, If you're just serving to be recognized, then that's your reward. If that's what you're looking for in life, if that's what you're looking for in your service to me inside of the church, outside of church, if that's the reward you're looking for, that's fine. If you're looking for somebody to pat you on the back or say, you know, how wonderful you are, that's fine. I hope you enjoy it, because that's all the reward you're getting. But Jesus says when we're serving God with a pure heart, when we're serving Him with the right intentions, then our reward is in heaven. Jesus looks at his followers there as they're sitting on that hillside there, and He's using the illustration of the Pharisees that are coming and going in and out of worship. He said they're looking to get the praise of man here, and if that's what they want, that's fine. But that's all they get. But if you're serving me with a pure heart, if you're serving me for the sake of the gospel, if you're serving me because you love me, if you're serving me so other people will know that there is hope in this lost and dying world, Jesus says, I have got a reward for you in heaven. I'm not asking if you serve. I'm asking if you serve with a pure heart. Over in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, and he sat down, here being Jesus, you know, he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing the multitude were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. And calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned and all she had to live on. Jesus is pointing out the men there in the temple that are giving just to be seen, that are waiting till the crowd is there, waiting to the opportune moment when the most people would see him, and then they open that purse up, and the people say, oh, look at the size of that purse. Listen to it jingle. Listen to it, those coins hit the offering plate there. They wanted to be recognized as big givers in the temple. They wanted people to say, look at them and say, man, he's serving God. Man, he loves God. Man, they've got their priorities right there. But Jesus said, wait a minute. Watch this widow. Watch this little old lady that comes in and puts two mites in there. Closest equivalent we can have is a penny. Jesus told his disciples she gave from the heart. She scratched together. She didn't give what she had extra. She didn't give what she had left over at the end of the week. She gave because her heart was right with God. She gave to the glory of God, not to be seen. Whatever you're doing, do it for the glory of God. Do it so that God's name is uplifted. Do it so that somebody else can know who Jesus Christ is, not for the recognition. Second thing I want to look at this morning, serving for God's glory, not your own. Serving for God's glory, not your own. Verses 2 through 4. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Here it is. I'm sure this made the Pharisees mad. Jesus said, you know, when the Pharisees are giving their alms, they're practically blowing a trumpet to get everybody's attention and cause them to stop what they're doing and to look at them giving their alms. Here Jesus mentions alms. You know, what is alms? You know, alms is something that you do for somebody else. Alms is something that you give to benefit somebody else. This was not the regular temple offering as we would consider it here. You know, an alm is when you gave something to help the homeless guy. An alm is when you put something in the offering in the temple to be able to help the widow to buy some groceries, or the orphan to be able to get some shoes, or to be able to provide a meal for the sick. You know, alms wasn't the regular offering. This is something that they were given to benefit somebody else, to help somebody else. And Jesus says, when you do something for somebody else, do it for the glory of God. Don't do it so somebody else will see you do it. Don't do it so for the recognition, give it to bring glory and honor to God. Jesus even there goes to the point, you know, of saying, Keep your secret service. Keep your service secret. Don't let other people know what you're doing. He uses the illustration there, that takes it to the extreme that when you're doing something for somebody else, you don't even let your right hand know what your left hand doing, which is hard to do. But Jesus wants us to take it to that point in our own walks with him. If we're doing something for somebody else, and nobody else needs to know. You know, if you're putting something in the blessing box for somebody to be a blessing to them, nobody else needs to know. If you're bringing the shoebox in to be a blessing to somebody else, these would be modern equivalents of alms or a love offering for somebody else. Nobody else needs to know other than you and God. Don't do it for the recognition. Jesus says when we serve for the glory of God, God rewards us. We shouldn't do it just to be recognized by others. Be recognized as generous or compassionate. Jesus gets to the point here, and he says, you know, don't be like these jokers around here. Anytime you do something for someone, they start blowing the trumpet. So everybody will look. Everybody will see. Look at me. But Jesus says, if you're serving yourself, you're not serving me. Jesus says there, to whatever you do for me, keep it in secret. Because what you do in secret, the Father sees you do in secret, and he'll reward you. All that matters when we're doing something for somebody else, all that matters when we're serving in and out of the church, all that matters when we're living our daily life is that God knows what we're doing, that he sees the intentions of our hearts. Over in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 42, it says, whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Jesus never says not to do for others, not to help others, not to bless others. But he does say no matter what you're doing, keep it in secret. No matter what you're doing, do it in between you and God. And trust God to reward you. Tying it back to the first point, he said if you want your rewards here on earth, if you want your reward to be the praise of the church, if you want the reward to be the pat on the back, if you want everybody to look at you and say, oh man, we are so grateful for everything you've done. We're so thankful for your generosity. We're so thankful of you. You're giving your time. Jesus said, that's fine. If that's what you want, that's fine. But that's all the reward you get. Don't expect a reward in eternity. Jesus says you cannot have it both ways. You can serve here on this earth and do it for the rewards here, or you can do it for the rewards in eternity. The Apostle Paul realized this as well. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, Paul says, in the future, talking about eternity, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who loved his appearing. Paul is serving for the glory of God. Paul wasn't doing it for his own recognition. Paul wasn't doing it for a pat on the back. Paul wasn't doing it blowing a trumpet saying, look at what I'm doing. Paul says, I know one day when my heart beats for the last time, when I walk up to the pearly gates, I know then and there God is going to reward me if I'll just continue to be faithful. And he says there, not only him, but all those that love Jesus Christ. All those that can have that same blessed assurance that when we put God first, when we serve with a pure heart, that God has got an eternity of rewards stored up for us. Jesus said, you know, you can take your pick. You can have that 30 seconds of, or you can have an eternity of rewards. Excuse me. Last thing I want to look at this morning is be like Jesus, not the hypocrites. Be like Jesus, not the hypocrites. Verses 5 through 8. It said, when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Jesus here is telling the followers on the side of that hill to check your heart before you pray. Examine what's going on in here before you cry out to the Lord. For the second time In these verses, Jesus uses every churchgoer's favorite word, hypocrite. Jesus had warned the people not to be the hypocrite, not to be like the hypocrites that help somebody and blows the trumpet so that they'll be recognized, blows the trumpet so everybody will know what they're doing and get the encouragement and the pat on the back. But now Jesus is using the word hypocrite again to point out the praying and people that are praying out loud, to speaking out loud just to be heard. Jesus is not saying, he's not condemning public prayer, people praying during services, pray around the pole, pray at work, whatever it may be. Jesus is saying these people here are doing it just to impress other people. People were standing up in the temple so that everybody could know that they were there. Everybody could hear them pray. They were uttering words so people would look at them and be impressed. But the hypocrites, as Jesus said there, were just trying to impress people with their words. Jesus warns us of meaningless repetition. And don't let that verse scare you. Because ultimately, as we go through prayer, sometimes we don't know what to say. As we go through prayer, we're all guilty of it. We may say the same, ask for the same request, have the same burden in a prayer a dozen times, two dozen times. But that just shows God our passion. What Jesus is talking about here is let everything in your heart out. But just don't say words to be able to fill it up, because if I stand up and pray, and if I can pray for about 10 minutes here in church today, I'm going to impress all kinds of people. That's what Jesus is warning us of. It's okay to stumble through prayer. It's okay to get tongue-tied and say the same thing half a dozen times. It's okay to stutter with the words. In my opinion, that is some of the most beautiful prayers you will ever hear. It's somebody digging down in the heart, looking, trying to articulate what is going on in here, wanting to talk to God, but not knowing how to put it. But Jesus says, God, the Father already knows what's in your heart. Jesus is warning us about standing up and just running our mouths to be recognized. Jesus is saying, don't be like the people that stand up and they're saying their prayers and they're saying, Lord, thank you for your son being a propitiation for us. And then people getting out of church, man, he used the word propitiation in his prayer. I got to Google that right quick. That sounded impressive. Or somebody in church saying, Lord, thank you for providing the sanctification for me to have. And everybody in the congregation goes, man, that sounds like a holy word there. Let me Google it when I get home and see what it means. Jesus is saying here, don't use words to try to impress people. Don't use them for the wrong reason. Check who you're serving and why you're serving. Check where your heart is. Jesus told the folks there on the hillside there, are you doing it for a pat on the back? Or are you doing it for the glory of God? You can do it to get your rewards here, and that's fine. You can get that 30 seconds of fame. Or you can do it for rewards for all of eternity. Are you serving for recognition? Are you serving for the excitement of seeing what God's got in store for you in heaven? Who are you serving this morning? Will you pray with me? Father, we're thankful here, Lord, as we look at the Lord's Prayer next week, Father, that you're telling them and us, Lord, to check our hearts before we come to you. Father, to make sure there is nothing that is out of place there. Make sure there's no sin that is there that is unforgiven, Father. To make sure that our hearts are pure, Father, that we're coming to you not to impress anybody else, but, Father, but to bring our hurts, to bring our worries, to bring our concerns, to bring our praises to you, Father, to come to you out of love. And, Lord, we just pray that before we look at those rest of those verses next week, and Father, even before we say our prayers throughout the day, Lord, that we're looking to make sure that we're loving you, that we're serving you, that we're praying for the right reasons. And Father, we just ask that you will speak to our hearts, burden our hearts, Lord, to have everything right with you inside of us, Father, so that you can hear our prayers. Because, Father, we know that you love us and desire to hear our prayers and to be able to answer them. And Father, we just ask that nothing would hinder that. And Father, we just pray for this upcoming week. And Lord, whatever it may bring, may we put you first. And we pray all things in Christ Jesus, Savior's name. Amen. Keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming back, and today is as good a day as any.